Welcome to a Fresh Perspective podcast, catering to the latest in ingredient trends, consumer insights, and food news. Brought to you by Corbion.
Hi, welcome to a Fresh Perspective of Food podcast. I'm CJ McClellan, and I'm joined by
Jenny Colzer. How are you today?
Good. How was your weekend?
Good.
Have a good Easter? Do anything crazy?
We ate a lot. Cupcakes. It's really all you can do in quarantine.
Yeah, that's basically what we did too. I ate an entire box of chocolates, which you were familiar with.
Yeah.
Well, today we're here to talk about what's happening now in the world. Again, we are in our living rooms if you're seeing the video or if it sounds different than a normal podcast because we're all still in isolation. And that's our topic for today. We're going to be talking about the effects the pandemic is having on the food industry and consumers' purchasing decisions.
Yeah, I'm excited about that topic. I think there's a lot to unpack there, and I'm interested. I'm interested in learning more about it. So,
yeah.
But first, aren't we going to talk about one of my English favorite
muffins.
Breakfast foods
so,
ever?
Yes. Over the weekend, somebody sent me an article that was how underappreciated English muffins are, and then it had a bunch of fun facts. And so, I wanted to sound some of these off to you and see if you knew them.
Okay.
Apparently,
I'm ready.
The UK, they're referred to as just regular muffins, which that's understandable, or American muffins, or Yankee Doodles.
Wait, what do they call a real muffin then, like with a top?
That I have no idea. But
okay.
From this moment on, going to refer to English muffins as a Yankee Doodle.
I'm like, I need a Yankee Doodle with a little bit of cheese on top.
Nobody's going to understand a word of what we're saying, but
and we're going to feel very toppy nose and British.
But seriously, English muffins are like my favorite breakfast. One of my favorite. I have a lot of favorite foods, but English muffins rival it, and I do think they're underappreciated. And
they are.
I wish they were around more often. Apparently, back in the day, they were so important. Like in 1894. They started a gang war, a mob war over English muffins.
You would why? Do we know any other details about it?
You know, I'm really good at reading the snippets and bullet points, but I didn't
read. See, I always have questions, CJ, always. Well, okay, so in the war, what I want to know, I mean, just for next time, is did the English muffins get used as weapons when they got hard?
Oh.
And were they eaten the whole time? Or was there an English muffin shortage and that's why there was a war? Because I totally get that. Like,
I think it was over the recipe. Like the recipe of the original English muffin is what started the war. They wanted to get.
I had this vision of like
it's a huge thing on social media right now. So if you are a fan of English muffins or want to know, there is a whole stream on Twitter now about English muffins and the different ways you can make them and how important they are to life. So
I'm in. I'm going to follow it right after this.
Food for thought. Anyways, back to the topic at hand.
Yummy. Now I'm hungry.
Right? Pandemic food and the way the pandemic is affecting consumers' purchasing habits. We are joined today by Marge O'Brien, who is the Global Director of Market Insights and Research at Corbion. Welcome, Marge.
Hey, guys. Hi. So, I was just listening to you guys talking about English muffins and a Yankee Doodle. I'm here on the East Coast. A Yankee Doodle is actually a snack cake on the East Coast.
What?
Oh. Yes. So, it's a yummy chocolate cake with white cream in it. And they're Yankee Doodles.
Well, apparently in England, they refer to English muffins as Yankee Doodles.
And in England, Jenny, they're called scones.
Oh, regular muffins are called scones?
Scones, yes.
I thought they were called crumpets.
That too.
Oh, there's so many words.
Yeah.
I've learned so much already today.
So have I. I mean, we could just stop right now and we're already there.
We've made it.
So basically, anywhere in the world, if I go and order a Yankee Doodle, I'm going to love it. That's really what I'm taking away from this
one. I would give you would get a snack cake from me.
I mean, I'm okay with any of the variations that we're getting. So if it's a snack cake, if it's an English muffin, really you could put anything on my plate at this point and I would eat it. So I'm in. Today we have Marge O'Brien, the Director of Global Insights and Market Insights and Research at Corbion. And we are talking about the impact that the pandemic is having on the food market, what we're seeing, how that compares to the trends that we were seeing before this, and what are like some of the spikes and changes in the consumer's purchasing habits. And so first off, I just wanted to, you know, how are you seeing the pandemic affect the food demand and the different purchasing spikes and lulls? And
yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable, isn't it? I mean, obviously none of us have ever lived through anything like this before, because you guys are in Kansas. I think you guys see very different than what I see, because I'm in the East Coast in Philadelphia. So for me, it's such a high population density that our grocery stores are like obliterated, and it's just, let's go and see what's on shelf and what we can purchase, because it's not, let me make a list and get it. It's, let's just go for our little exploration and we'll just see what we end up with.
So what's the strangest thing that you have bought because that's all that was there?
The strangest thing, I don't think I've really bought anything kind of strange. I'll say the other way around is, what are the strangest things that I've gone looking for and they're not there? Can you tell me why there's been a run on peaches? I was looking for peaches, not a one.
We were looking for limes the other day and literally could not find a lime.
Why did you need limes?
I mean, it might have been margarita day, but
might have been
neither here nor there. But here in Kansas, it's definitely not as crazy run on the stores as it is up where you are. But we are seeing like random aisles that are just empty. Like the chip aisle still seems to be kind of full. But then obviously like the pasta sauce was like gone.
And I haven't been to the store.
Empty. No.
I'm having all my groceries delivered, so I don't even know what they look like right now. I know I can't get toilet paper. I know that much.
No.
So when you're looking at all the data and the reports that you're seeing on the daily, so we know that obviously the toilet paper has spiked and probably like Clorox wipes and things like that. But what are some of the other categories that we're seeing like extreme spikes in, or that we're seeing an extreme drop off in?
Yeah. So, you know, what I think is really interesting is before COVID hit, there was a lot of talk about the perimeter of the store. So buying fresh meat and fresh breads and fresh produce and refrigerated foods, that type of thing. Once COVID hit, it was like the center of the store was rediscovered, because people started buying canned soup, canned anything, or frozen anything so that they could stockpile in their house because they're not shopping as much. So anything in the center of store. I mean, in my store the other day, I went and there was no pickles. Like the entire section of pickles gone.
I can't handle that. Pickles are like my favorite thing.
Yeah. And so,
you know, strange. What a strange thing to buy.
Is it because they're preserved and they last forever?
It is, because what we've been working with all of these different research partners, and what they're telling us is people are now shopping and stocking up enough groceries for between like 2 and 4 weeks. So of course they're looking for things that can be in the shelf for a longer period of time. And actually this is an interesting time period, because this is when you start to get to know people. And I've gotten to know my new coworker, Jenny, to understand that she's got a bunker in her basement of food. So we know where to go to.
How long were you stocked up, Jenny? Like, what were you prepared for?
I was prepared for 3 months. When I started reading about it in January, I knew I could tell that it was coming. It was the long incubation period and the fact that nobody knew anything about it. And so that's when, CJ, I started sitting with you at lunch and staring the crap out of everyone, saying, go buy baby formula, go buy everything you need.
She did.
And that
she
was
did
January. So, I have a whole section of my basement dedicated to shelf-stable food. So rice in bags and dried beans and all the things that I would typically never buy. Like, I'm a minute rice kind of person, beans in cans. But this way I could stock up enough to last 3 months if we had to shut the door and lock it, which, of course, that's what we ended up doing.
I'm just going to be honest. I'm not even really prepared for I am prepared for tomorrow, but the only reason is because my food box meal kit comes. tomorrow. And so then I'll have three meals. I did buy some extra jars of pasta sauce, but I prepared with wine. I was
just bring the wine to my house and I'll feed you. And then we won't run out of wine.
We've pretty much kept our same shopping habits. We've been going like once a week on Sundays, like we always did. Or, well, now we've moved to Mondays because it's less busy. But the only thing that's changed is that we aren't ordering online right now.
Interesting that you bring that up, because I know between the three of us, CJ, you and I are still going to the grocery store. Jenny mm-hmm. is doing online, and that's one of the biggest changes that we're seeing, is there's a massive increase in people doing online shopping. So however, there's so many different options for online. So there's true, you know, online, there's the, what we call click and collect, where you, you know, go on the retailer website and order and you go pick it up and they just come out and put it in your car and off you go. Mm-hmm. And there's just been a massive uptick in that. And so one of the things that I keep wondering about is how many people are going to continue online shopping and what opportunities, but also what challenges does that present? So if I'm a retailer and I want foot traffic coming in the store to see what's on display and what's being on merchandise,
impulse buys or
those things are going to change because you've got less foot traffic in the store. So what does that mean? I mean, during crisis moments like what we're experiencing, innovation always comes out, and it always is so unbelievable to see how creative people can be and the cool things that people come up with. And so I really love to see how that unfolds. And I think that's a fun opportunity for us to look at.
I know we are just diving into this pandemic talk and how it's shifting kind of the food market, but we are going to take a quick break and do a little short segment we like to call Eat, Save, Give.
Now it's time for Eat, Save, Give, a thoughtful peek into the hearts, minds, and taste palates of our guests.
So Eat, Save, Give. This is a segment where we are going to give you three food options. Today's happened to be breakfast focused. Because of the English muffin, and you have to decide which one are you going to eat now, which one are you going to save, and which one are you going to give away? And this becomes surprisingly hard. Okay. So eat, save, give. You've got French toast, you've got a delicious quiche, or you've got an order of eggs Benedict. What are you going to do? Eat, save, give. Ready? Let go. We'll all do it too, so.
Can I just give it all away?
You don't want any of it?
And here, you know, and here's why, a little fun fact for you guys. I don't like eggs. So French toast, gone. Quiche, gone. Eggs Benedict, gone. So for me, that was super easy. I would just give it all away.
It's really because you're just so giving. You're like,
yes.
I want to give this.
No, generous. I'm totally bizarre, and I don't know, the texture of eggs in its natural form, I don't like. If it's an egg in like a cake, who doesn't love cake? So of course you're going to, I'll eat the cake, of course, but eggs, no.
I'm totally like mind blown right now.
I'm
like,
sorry.
What just happened?
I know. What are you guys? What are you
gonna
do?
Your breakfast item? Like, what do you do at breakfast?
Oh my gosh. So I have discovered, I love making smoothies in the morning, and when the pandemic started, that was the first thing I made sure that I got was frozen fruit in my freezer so I could make that. So I take Greek yogurt, and then I throw in some skim milk, and then the fruit, and just blend it up, and then I'm also sort of like an old fuddy-duddy because I love oatmeal too.
Oh, I do too.
Oh, I thought you were going to say prunes. I was just waiting for prunes when you said old fuddy-duddy.
No, but oatmeal. Because I would always eat oatmeal with my dad. And it's just something I always loved eating, oatmeal.
Oh, nice. That's a sweet story.
Yeah.
Well, I don't like hollandaise sauce, so I'm going to pass on the eggs Benedict. I will probably keep and eat the French toast right now, as long as there's like a ton of syrup that I can like dip it in like every bite. I love my condiments and salsa, so I'll just like gonna slather it in there.
Dipping.
And then yeah. I'll save the quiche because that seems like something that could probably save all right and I could reheat later or, you know, like have a snack later on in the afternoon and be good with it.
What about you, Jenny?
My husband and I had a big debate the other day because we have nothing else to talk about because we've been together forever in this house. And
7 weeks.
And I looked at him the other, it was like midnight, and I said, I just need to know something. What is the point of French toast? Like, I don't understand it. Why would you fry an egg and dip the bread in it? So now you've got rubbery mush. Like, no, ugh. And who puts cinnamon in eggs? That's so gross. So that is a hard pass for me. Like, anyone can have my French toast. And you know what? I don't even think you like this, that
I'm
much,
learning
CJ.
So much
because you dip so much syrup on it that you can't even taste the weird rubbery mush.
Yeah, that's it's true. Just a carrier for CJ. It's a carrier. Yeah.
A lot of my meals are based on the carrier. Like pizza, gross. I want 30 extra sauces.
No, I like that. But no.
So you're tossing the French toast. Yeah, I'll take it and have two eggs, Benny, syrup.
And I'm going to eat, you know, other people's eggs, Benny, if it's available on their plate.
We can switch. You can have my...
Okay. You can have all the French toast.
Your French.
And then I'll save the quiche because quiche is good, cold and hot. And I can eat it later.
Okay. Last question. What has been your go-to pandemic snack?
Oh, my God.
Isolation snack.
Easily.
Mine was Starburst.
Easily. M&M peanuts. M&M peanuts. Oh. Mm-hmm. So I love, like, here's my oddity. I love biting the top of it off and then trying to pop out the peanut and the whole peanut, though. I like the whole peanut to come out and then eat the bottom part of it.
Okay. Mine was Starburst last week or last episode when we did this. I found out that there was 20 calories per Starburst, so I hard passed on those after that. And I've migrated to... Goldfish. So now I'm just eating massive amounts of goldfish.
Sing the song, the snack that smiles back, goldfish.
Copyrighted.
I can't eat that.
You're going to get a note from their lawyer.
Oh. I don't know. My snack is, well, my guilty secret is pizza sandwich. Like pepperoni and then sauce and then maybe a little black olive if you're feeling, you know, frisky. And then toast it all and... So that's like my snack right now.
Well, yummy. I've learned so much about you guys and I'm promise not to hold any of it against you.
Thank you. Never get me French toast sticks ever.
Yes.
And we'll be friends forever. At Corbion, the word impossible doesn't stop us. It gets us going. As a leading global ingredient supplier, we create sustainable food solutions based on renewable resources and natural processes. We are obsessed with solving impossible challenges for our customers. Let's partner together to find solutions unique to you and preserve what matters most. Corbion, keep creating.
So we're going to get back into it. We are still here with you, Marge. Marge O'Brien, the Director of Global Insights and Market Insights and Research at Corbion. And we are talking about the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic and what it's doing to the food industry. And we were just talking about kind of the shift that it's having in the way we are purchasing and how people are shifting to online, how some people are moving back to in the store, which is something that I have been doing. I used to order through Instacart, but now the order time is so far out. And like if I'm ordering, it used to be I could get it in like 2 hours. Now it's like, we'll see you next Friday. And
that's what I'm using right now is Instacart.
You've got 3 months of stash.
Well, but I still am ordering because I have 6 people in this house and 4 animals. So I'm still ordering Instacart, you know, just for supplemental stuff that goes bad. And my problem is that it's expensive. It's about $100. So
we are seeing that shift in the way people are purchasing and the different things they are purchasing. What do you think that looks like? Like, obviously it's changed immediately. Do you think from your perspective that those will stay around, those shifts in the changes that we're making in the way we purchase? Or do you think as the pandemic kind of winds down that you'll see some of that migrate back to our original shopping habits? From your perspective, what are you feeling there?
Yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting because consumers would normally go into a store and you typically have a set of criteria, whether you know it or not, you have a set of criteria that you're going to go through to make your purchase decision, whether it's like pack size, brand, taste, flavor, whatever it is. And now all of that had been basically flattened, and it's, is it there? And if I'm going to just take whatever's on the shelf. And people, as a result of that, have actually started trying brands that they wouldn't normally have tried. And so now you've got people who may be consuming a new brand that they're not going to ship back to their other previous brand. So we've got a lot of that dynamic going on. The other big factor that's going to impact us is the staggering number of unemployment that is happening in the US. And I'm sure you guys have seen it on the news, and it's just heartbreaking to see the lines upon lines of people waiting for food at different food banks and distribution centers. So when we start to come out of the pandemic, there's still gonna be such a pressure on money and stretching your dollars as far as you can. So I think at least initially, people won't revert back to whatever their normal behaviors are. People are still
value brands and some of the more value purchases that you see.
Exactly. I think people are going to have to dig out of the financial situation that they've been put in. And I think people are really going to look for those value brands and how do I stretch my dollars further? I don't think we're going to see what our new norm is for probably a good like 12 to 18 months after we start coming out. Because I think there's going to be shifts, because we've got kind of the panic buying now. Then you'll have, as we start coming out, what do people do? And then as people settle into kind of more of the new norm.
What do you think this means or for food manufacturers? Like, are there any key takeaways or recommendations that we're, you know, seeing from this that food manufacturers should be aware of?
I mean, I think it's going to create a lot of opportunity, really, because the manufacturers who can be nimble and shift on demand to the different trends will be really successful. And I think manufacturers should really be looking at what people are buying. So I'm going to expect private label will do well, and the value brands, and things, maybe even larger pack sizes, because people are going to try, like Jenny, who is like a basketball team in her house, to stretch.
It's pretty much true. Yeah.
And you may skew towards bigger pack sizes because they're going to be more economical for you.
Sometimes they're not. Like, I prefer to shop at Aldi over Costco. Because, I mean, I like Costco. They have great food, but the prices are not better. And I've done all the comparisons because it costs so much to feed a family of this size. So there's a couple, I'm not saying that not every price is better, but, you know, I mean, if you're being really careful, and I assume that people will be coming out of this, right? Because of what you were just saying, I think you're going to see people like actually doing the math. Whereas right now you go to Costco, I get all this toilet paper for this much money. But sometimes that's not the best deal.
I went to Costco once and spent a bajillion dollars and got only things that didn't matter. I had like 600 Benadryls and a giant thing of energy drinks. Like, I got nothing that actually mattered. And now I'm like, what am I going to do with this? It's still sitting on my counter.
Yeah.
I feel like we're just getting started and we're already pushing the timeline. So one final question. We all work in the food space. We all work in the food ingredient space, but we are also all consumers, and we all have families and people we care about that we're purchasing for. So what is just the one biggest takeaway from this and the shifts that are happening, that or anything that you want to throw out there as a last final comment?
So not to get too philosophical on you guys, but in talking to all of my coworkers and friends, as scary as this situation is, what I'm hearing is that it has also been a stark reminder of slow down, live in the moment, enjoy your family, and take advantage of the time. Even though we're all crazy and we want to get out and start doing stuff, you know, enjoy the time that you have with your family and friends. And maybe disconnect more often going forward so that you can actually re-establish relationships.
I have definitely seen that too. Just like a shift in everyone's mentality. Everyone seems like freer and happier, and like there's like this general desire to connect, and it's not just like trying to pass by and, you know, you're wishing you could sit down and have like this big nice meal with your friends and chat, and you're doing it on FaceTime now, which I hadn't I mean, we never used to do that or get on
house party.
So I've definitely seen that shift, and I hope that it does carry over, and I hope that, you know, we do remember.
I love it too. I think it's such a lovely sentiment on your part. Like, it is something that you forget, you lose it.
Absolutely.
So yeah, I'm trying to do that myself, you know, spend more time, you know, like listening or just hanging out without it, you know, like having a reason to, with my family and people and online and things like that. So, I mean, I'm really loving it. So,
well, this has been a really awesome conversation. I feel like we just scratched the tip of it. So as this continues on and we learn more, we'll definitely have to have you back to fill us in, and I have several more questions, so there's no shortage of things to talk about. So we'll have to get you back in here to do another round.
Yeah, volume two with Marge.
Yeah, that would be great. I'd love to come back. Thanks for having me.
Well, if you need more information on any of these things that we've been talked about in the last episode, trends and consumer insights and market insights, or if you want to learn more about kind of how the pandemic is affecting the food industry and consumers' purchasing habits, you can hop on over to thebakerstake.com, where you will find all of that information ongoing. You'll also find recipes and troubleshooting tips and videos and all of that good stuff. So thebakerstake.com. Thank you guys for listening.
Don't forget, keep creating.